It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. Later this hour, singer-songwriter Lissy has a new album out that puts the spotlight on her incredible voice. I'll talk with her about her music and building a life and putting down roots in rural Iowa after 15 years on the West Coast. But first, Robert Kerr had a long career as a school psychologist and an all-consuming hobby in home restoration and historic preservation. But in retirement, he's developed a new passion. He has just self-published his second novel. It's called Legion Lake. It's about an Iowa lakeside community threatened by pollution, corruption, and a murder. Robert Kerr is here with me today. Hello, Robert.
Hi, Charity. Thanks for having me.
Well, thank you so much for being here today. And the inspiration for this book actually came from Iowa Public Radio, not from Talk of Iowa, but from an interview you heard on River to River. Can you tell me about that?
That's correct. Actually, it started a little before that. I penned a short story for a contest in Iowa. It was called the All Iowa Writers Conference Short Story Contest, and I came in second place. So after people read that, they said, "Well, boy, this is good. You know, you should expand this into a full length novel." And I really, I thought that was great to hear, but I didn't really see a way forward with it. But then a year later, or a little less than a year later, in April of 13, I was listening to River, and I heard a story about some people in the northern part of Johnson County that lived in a development out in the county, and they became concerned when they heard that there was going to be an expansion of that development to two or three times its size. And so apparently in an effort to forestall that or put an end to it, they worked with a local farmer who came out with an announcement that he intended to start a hog confinement operation right next to that existing development. And that may very well have accomplished their goals. I don't know. I didn't hear the rest of the story. But just the idea that someone would try to weaponize a hog farm was intriguing to me. And since the short story I'd written was about a couple of guys on a lake who went out on their last fishing trip, I just thought, well, yeah, I can merge those two together and come up with a novel from that.
Well, we will talk more about the plot in a little while, but why don't you read us the first page from the book, introduce us to Legion Lake.
Sure, I'd be happy to. Placing the letter back in his shirt, Lester pulled his phone from his pocket and dialed. The call was answered swiftly with, "Sheriff's Department, may I help you?" "Yes, this is Lester Pierce. I have some information about a crime." "Yes, I'll hold." And somewhere just off the shore from Lester's dock, a huge walleye swam away contentedly. But then I get ahead of myself. This story actually started at the bait shop. The 450-acre body of water known as Legion Lake, due west of Iowa City, gives its name to a typical Iowa lake community, surrounded by cabins ranging from weekend retreat fishing shacks to year-round homes. Its proximity to Iowa City makes it a favorite place for university types to live out their own version of Thoreau's idyllic existence until the weather gets too uncomfortable or their supply of wine runs low. But mainly, it is the favorite fishing spot for retired geezers looking to land the big one, or at least to find a spot secluded enough that they can lie about it without fear of any witnesses to the contrary. The seclusion, the privacy, the sense that nothing ever happens to separate one peaceful day from the next is what draws the sometimes inhabitants week after week. And that is usually the case at Legion Lake, usually. As for fishing, what good are lies without a stage for telling them? And that stage is the Legion Lake coffee shop and bait shop and coffee spot, the community's one and only gathering place for coffee, news, and most importantly, gossip. Oh, and the lies about the 15-pound walleye rumored to live in the lake, known respectfully as Old Wally to the local liars. Lies that help Ruthie, the bait shop's proprietor, make a tidy profit in bait and tackle sales every season.
That's Robert Kerr reading from his new novel, Legion Lake. And so, Robert, the novel was inspired in part by the interview you heard on River to River, but it also bears some resemblance to your life, right?
Well, certainly. My wife and I do own a property on an Iowa lake, And we certainly have spent plenty of time out there. We've heard not only fish stories, but other stories, particularly from our friends, most of whom are anywhere from 5 to 10 years older than we are. And it just became tantalizing to incorporate some of those stories in a somewhat filtered or reformatted version into the plot of this book that I wrote.
So tell me a little bit about your characters. You've got Lester and his wife, Shirley, that really are at the center of this book.
Yes, Lester is a long-term resident of the lake. Lester and Shirley are. They've been there approximately 30 years, and they're good friends. The Marabos, Frank and Gloria, have been there with them most of that time. And they're just two couples that have become accustomed to spending the summers together, particularly since they all retired and started spending the full summer at the lake.
And I think for anybody who's spent any time in a small town in Iowa, it's particularly a lake community, but really anywhere. I mean, this is very familiar territory, with the local coffee shop being the social hub for all the retired folks in the community, the place where they get together and they talk and they swap those stories. And you also really explore the friendship between Lester and Frank. And why was that so intriguing to you?
Well, I guess because I have had a number of friendships with other men older than myself or close to my age, and I have seen some of them end with the early passing. I've watched others, move away from the lake, and you know, it's become tougher to keep up those contacts and friendships. And I suppose as I wrote this, I was just thinking a lot about those, not only the celebrations of life that I've experienced with them, but also the passing and the moving on, which is, just a part of life when you get to be my age.
You dedicate the book to your friend Dave Hutchinson, who has passed away. Tell me about Dave.
Well, Dave and I worked together at one of the AEAs in Iowa, and professionally, he was probably my most valuable contact. When I came into a situation with a student or family and I wasn't sure where to proceed or what to do, he was the first person I called on. Also, outside of our work life, we were friends socially, and I think that started largely because he came to me one day the first year we worked together, and he said, you know your way around a hammer and a saw, don't you? And I said, well, yeah, I guess so. And he said, I'm working on a project. I need some help. Well, that was the beginning of helping him with a number of projects, and it was also the beginning of me acquiring more and more tools and working on more and more properties of my own until I was bitten by the bug myself.
Do you feel like there's a reflection of your relationship with Dave and that relationship between Lester and Frank?
Oh, certainly.
The one of the things that I really enjoy about the book, Robert, is that these main characters are older people. And so often I realized in reading this, the older characters in books, on TV, in any kind of fiction are not given a lot of depth. They're kind of window dressing in a lot of ways, and they get pigeonholed with certain stereotypes. Was creating these older characters in a more fleshed out way, giving them real personalities, real humanity, was that part of what you wanted to do with the book?
I think that was absolutely part of what I was trying to do. Our experience at our lake has put us into contact with, shall I just say, more seasoned individuals, not only in terms of more candles on their birthday cake, but also people who have spent way more time at that lake than we had. And I just developed an appreciation for how full and rich a life could be, even up into the 70s and 80s and beyond. And I still marvel at that with some of our friends we've met through our stays at the lake, who no longer live there, but we still are in contact with them. I certainly think that my experiences with those people, with those friends, found their way into the story, possibly even in ways I wasn't aware of.
Have you felt, as you have moved on with your life post-retirement, do you feel like people that you encounter look at you or think about you in a different way?
Oh, absolutely. I was in the doctor's office this week and had, you know, my list of concerns that I wanted him to talk to me about. And when we were wrapping it up, I said, so basically the only thing wrong with me is that I'm getting old. And he kind of blushed. He is maybe in his early 40s. And he said, oh, no. But essentially, those difficulties that I was having that we discussed, every one of them came back to, well, it's kind of the way it is when you get older. There's that when I go to the doctor. I certainly feel, you know, no longer having my natural brown hair, but having the snow on my head. I walk into a store and it's almost as if people treat me as a different person, as a customer, you know, with the gray hair, a different person than anyone in line before or ahead of me who's younger. And it's not always a bad thing, usually not a bad thing. It's just something that I still find myself trying to grow accustomed to.
Interesting. Well, we're going to take a short break. We'll be back in just a moment. I'm talking with Robert Kerr. He has just self-published his second novel. This one's called Legion Lake, and it takes place in a lakeside community in Iowa. It features a couple of older friends who go fishing together, but also find themselves solving a mystery. We'll talk more about that in just a moment. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. Coming up in a few minutes, I'll talk with singer-songwriter Lissy. She has a new album out, and we'll also talk about building a life in rural Iowa. She recently bought a 47-acre farm in northeastern Iowa, and she's putting down roots in a new way. Right now, I'm talking with Robert Kerr. He had a long career as a school psychologist, and in retirement, he's developed a new passion for writing. He has just published his second novel. It's called Legion Lake, about an Iowa lakeside community threatened by pollution, corruption, and a murder. And Robert, just before the break, we were talking about the older characters in this novel that are really at the center of the story. Lester and Frank are good friends. They love to go fishing together. And they also both have a passion for watching reruns of detective shows. Is that something that you share with your characters?
Well, I would say I share it with my wife as much as with my the characters I wrote about. I found it convenient to apply some of the hours and hours of detective show viewing that I've experienced with my wife to the workings of these characters' minds as they tried to solve this mystery.
I love that. I think so many of us have sat in a recliner in the living room and watched these shows and, you know, worked hard to be our own detectives to try to figure out what the answer is to the puzzle, thinking that, oh, of course I could probably do this in real life, a little bit of a fantasy.
Sure. Yep.
There is there are several other characters in the novel, but your main characters, Lester and Shirley, have these new neighbors who have just moved in. It's a young couple. And tell me just a little bit about those characters.
Sure. Brock and Ashley are a couple of 20-somethings who have taken up residence in this cabin for the summer. Brock is a University of Iowa biology student who's basically at the lake to further his research. And he's also working for the wind farm company that's putting up the wind farm near the lake. Ashley is his girlfriend, his love interest. And they make life interesting for the older neighbors, Lester and Shirley, as they watch them in their romantic pursuits. I guess that's the best way to put it. Lester starts out not particularly valuing Brock, but essentially once Brock starts to aid him in fighting the CAFO operation, they become reasonably good friends.
Well, I think that's a really interesting plot point, that there is this generational divide between the characters as things start out. But as they're concerned about this large animal confinement facility being built just 2 miles away from the lake, the fear of pollution, the fear that this lake community will be forever altered by it, they find that they have a lot more in common. And there's so much going on in our culture right now that divides us. And I feel like in our state, you know, we have this urban-rural divide, but we also have this generational divide, or at least the perception of a generational divide, that, you know, the baby boomers have nothing in common with the millennials. Was that something you wanted to explore?
I would say it's something that I explored unintentionally, but I certainly did. I experienced this to some extent with my adult children. I'm very proud of the people that they have both become, or I should say all three of them, including my daughter-in-law. But there still are times when, well, for example, I grew up in a generation that loves to tell stories and jokes. Neither my son nor my daughter has very much use for a joke. It's just not something that generation is particularly fond of. My stories probably bore my kids more than other people because they've heard them 100 times.
We can definitely all relate to that. But, you know, in thinking through Lester's relationship with Brock, did that give you some clarity on maybe some of the things that you do share with your kids?
It did, as far as things I share with my kids. But I think the relationship between Brock and Lester was actually based more on some coworker or two that I've had a relationship with over the years. And Brock was kind of an amalgamation of three or four young men that I worked with. I would say I have more than a little trouble at times finding common ground with people that much younger than myself when it comes to things such as what kind of car to drive, or even things like whether or not to drink coffee from a K-cup machine because of the potential for harm to the environment. Those sorts of things are just different among the millennial generation, I think, than they are among the baby boomer generation. But there's certainly areas of commonality, political beliefs, religious beliefs, those sorts of things. And I don't mean to paint my children as being humorless by any stretch. We watch a great number of comedies, movies, Saturday Night Live, etc., together, and we certainly enjoy that humor.
The book has some really serious subjects that come up throughout the book. I mean, we've talked a little bit about the environmental threat to this lake, which we come to understand in a little more nuance throughout the book. And also this deep friendship between friends is a serious topic, and the difficulties of growing older and facing terminal diseases. These are all things that you explore, but at the same time, you have a lot of fun. Was it difficult finding the balance between the humor and all of those serious things that we encounter every day?
Well, I don't think I would say it was difficult, but I did feel a need to do that. I didn't want it to be just a story about, you know, a diminishing life span for a group of senior citizens. I wanted also to bring out the incredible amount of fun that people can continue to have in their later years, and that my friends that I've met at our lake have had. So I guess I felt a need to sprinkle it with those humorous moments just to make sure that point was not lost.
I'm talking with Robert Kerr. His latest book is Legion Lake. It's his second novel. He's self-published both of his novels, and they both have plots that take place in the state of Iowa. And Robert, I'm curious about why you feel driven to write at this point in your life. Was that something that was a dream of yours as a young man?
Oh, it certainly was. I think I was writing stories when I was in kindergarten or first grade. Fortunately, none of them have survived to be read at this point. But probably I got my kickstart on it when I was a senior in high school and I had an advanced composition teacher, Mrs. Payne, who rather than trying to pound us with grammar, punctuation, and sentence structure, she just laid on heavy doses every day of praise and made us believe that what we wrote was worthwhile, something people would want to read, and had a certain amount of power to it. It served me well in college. I was the guy that always wanted to take the essay test rather than, the multiple choice. And eventually, I began to write essays, I guess you would call them, just to deal with life's frustrations, you know, over politics or working in education, you know, various things that were life's frustrations. I think the reason I enjoy writing so much now is that, as I've already alluded, I'm getting to that age where control over my life is becoming harder and harder to maintain. Things keep happening that I can't control. But as an author of fiction, I'm responsible for not only the plot, but the characters, their personalities, the setting. And these are all things that I can control and I have to control. And it gives me a real satisfaction to be able to have control in that way as I see some other things going downhill. For example, my hearing, I think a big reason why I like to do it. Also, it really is a convenient way, having written books and whatnot, it's a convenient way to have conversations with people my age about just life in general.
What do you mean by that?
Well, when I do book signings, for example, I probably come away with my pocket full of experience, filled way more to the brim than my wallet. I don't really mind so much whether I sell a lot of books at a book signing, but I certainly enjoy having people come up who have read the story or maybe have read one of my other books, and they have conversations with me about them. What my wife and I both found was once we retired, our contact with people our age really kind of came almost to an abrupt halt, and we had to go out of the house on purpose, you know, and seek it out. Whereas when you're working with people your age for 35 years, it wasn't quite so difficult to have that contact.
Yeah, interesting. So you felt like it was really isolating to retire in some ways.
To some extent, sure. We eventually adjusted, but we had to, you know, work at it. We had to find ways. For example, we go to an exercise class for senior citizens at one of the churches in Ankeny, and we thoroughly enjoy that, not just because of the physical activity, but because of the contact with other people our age.
When you decided to pursue writing in a little more mindful way, in a bigger way, as you retired, why did you decide to take the route of self-publishing?
Well, I think if I was going to be extremely truthful, I would say it had to do with a lack of confidence. But I went into it cautiously. I took a couple of classes from writers through Adult Ed and whatnot. And I found two stories coming from that, one from people who had a traditional publishing contract. And their story was that they had very little control over the story once they signed the contract. There was very little coming back to them in form of income or royalties. And it took forever to find an agent and get someone to publish it. What I heard from people who self-published was that they were able to control everything throughout. Their royalties were considerably better. And it didn't take any longer than what it takes to upload a document and, you know, go through the nitty-gritty of getting Amazon to finalize it, maybe a week's time top. The other thing that's sort of a pitfall of self-publishing, or because of self-publishing, is it has become so much easier to publish a book or even write a book because of technology in the last 20 years or so, that the number of titles that are out there is geometrically larger than that many years back. And for that reason, you know, the number of things that are available for people to read is huge relative to the number of readers. So it becomes tough to get people to consider your work as opposed to one of the millions of other items that come out every year.
Well, it's also, it means that if you're actually going to get your books in front of people, you have to do it yourself. You have to make the phone calls and make the contacts and, you know, get yourself into bookstores. Bookstores aren't necessarily looking for self-published books. And I know you do have a reading coming up on July 27th at the Plot Twist Bookstore in Ankeny. Has that been really challenging for you to make those contacts?
It definitely has. I want to support local businesses and independent bookstores. The problem is when you publish yourself, or I should say self-publish, you wind up with a different schedule of discounts and royalties than what traditional publishers offer. And it, just this week I was speaking to a bookstore owner near Des Moines and found that she wanted to carry my book, but as far as ordering it from the publisher, the discount offered through the place where I published just wasn't large enough for her to pay the shipping and make any profit.
They've got to make a living.
Right. And then I'm faced with carrying five books in my car to the bookstore, wherever, you know, and I spend more money in gas than what I can make back on the sale. So I really rely on sites like Amazon for my to move any large quantity of books.
What do you think you've gotten out of this experience? I mean, you've done it for a second time. Why has this been so valuable to you?
I often ask myself that. I think what I have gotten out of it more than anything is I've relieved myself from the pressure of having a story inside of me that I wanted to get out. Beyond that, anything else that comes from it is just icing on the cake. I constantly come across ideas for stories. I have three other books in the hopper that I've probably invested anywhere from 7 to 10 chapters apiece in them, and they're just kind of sitting on the back burner. But they're stories that I feel compelled to tell, and one of them actually isn't fiction. It's a set of essays about the lessons I learned on and off a Nebraska farm as I was growing up. Those are things that I just, for some reason, feel a need to tell, and in order to pay for my hobby, I guess. I feel like I need to sell a few books along the way.
We have 20 seconds left. Do you have just a nugget of advice for other people who are thinking about trying the same thing?
Absolutely. The first thing, is, as trite as it sounds, is write. Write as often and as much as you can. The second thing is, if you feel that you're not good enough to do this or whatever, find someone who believes that you are, and don't let go of them, I guess, is the last thing I would say.
Robert Kerr, thank you so much.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Robert Kerr, his new novel is called Legion Lake. It's his second novel, both of them self-published. This one takes place in an Iowa lakeside community. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbie.